Praise be to God, our loving Father. The Holy Spirit work in such a fashion that I cannot fathom. I did not speak with Cindy. However, the passage or her introduction I can use as an introduction to my message. And I give him all the praise and glory. Thanks be to God. Today's message deals with a passage in the Bible that we're all familiar with, and perhaps from a small child. I myself am very familiar with the 23rd Psalm. I'm also familiar with John 3:16. I have yet to meet a Christian who doesn't know those two passages by heart. Am I right about that? Can we all say an amen? Okay. Today's message is something that was on my heart, and I said, I will talk about it. And as you can see from the image up there, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And what I'd like to ask you to do, if you have your Bible next to you, let us all, in the form of a corporate worship, read the Psalms together. Now, I am reading from the New King James Version. However, I was brought up with the Old King James, so I know this verbatim. You might have the NIV. You might have another version. But anyway, let's read the passage. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 23 is very personal, and David, who wrote this psalm, shows it in this fashion, as we have just read. This is David's personal testimony of his experience with God. And this psalm is a gem of all the psalms. It's like a balm to our sin-sick soul. It brings healing, as the balm of Gilead is used for anointing and healing. You can look at this psalm as a balm. It will heal us of infirmities, and it will heal us of our desires for wants and needs. let us see David's confidence in times of crisis. And this particular psalm, there are parallels to this psalm with Psalms 51. Psalms 23 reminds us that in life or in death, in times of plenty or in times of want, God is good and worthy of our trust. We can trust in him. We definitely can trust in him. We begin with the first verse. It says, the Lord. Now, who is the Lord? The Lord is God's one and only Son that he sent to die on the cross for us. The Lord is our Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth. The Lord is our Jehovah Jireh, the God that provided. And all this is in the Psalms. The God is our Jehovah Shalom. He is our peace. And whenever you're going through trials, read this psalm, and it will be, as I said, that balm, like that balm of Gilead. It will heal your soul. It's a gem among all of the psalms. Now, all of the psalms are good. David wrote many psalms. Prior to this, he wrote on Psalms 22 and the psalms after, which is 24, which talks about Jesus' dying on the cross. The Lord is my shepherd. We know that the Lord is supreme, and he will supply all of our needs. This shepherd, our Lord, says, I shall not be in need of any want. He is the good shepherd. As John tells us in John 10:14, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. And we see this with Christ dying on the cross for our redemption. John 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Do you know that good shepherd? Ask yourself. If you do not know that good shepherd, perhaps you might want to come forward and confess him as your Lord and Savior. It goes on to tell us, still in verse 1, I shall not want. When we have such a good shepherd, all our needs are met. And Paul clearly tells this to us in Philippians 4:19, where he says, I shall not want, and my God shall supply all of your needs, not some, but all of your needs, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What does the good shepherd do for us? He makes us to lie down in green pastures. We will not have a want or a need if we rely on the good shepherd. Green pastures. Think about it. When you're lacking money, as often referred to as the green, he can supply the green. He leads us in green pastures.
Think about that. You know, we are the sheep of his fold. As Isaiah says, we are like sheep accounted to the slaughter. And we are referred as sheep, and sheeps are very gentle animals, very docile. They need a shepherd. They need to be led to green pastures for feeding. They need to be led to still waters. When I think about the still waters, think about Jesus in the ship. When he was in that ship or in that raft or a skiff, but it was fairly large because his disciples was in there, and he was in that skiff or boat asleep, unconcerned of anything. And there came about a terrible storm, and the disciples were frightened that they might capsize and drown. They went and woke up Jesus, he who created the waters. Simply says, be still. And the waters were still. When you're in difficulties, he will lead you beside still waters. He is the one who created the water and who have control over the water. So you need not fear. He leads us beside still waters and leads us into green pastures. As I said, this psalm somehow parallel Psalms 51, where it says, he restores my soul. And when I think of that third verse of restoring my soul, I can only think of David. And look at David, the one who wrote the 23rd Psalm. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. Yet he narrates for us in this 23rd Psalm how we have such a loving and forgiving God, that God forgives all sins. And we can clearly see it in Psalms 51. David wrote Psalms 51. And he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitudes of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgression, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sins. And then he goes on to say, then I will teach transgressors your way. See, he was forgiven of his sins. And he wrote, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. We are all Christians here. We have sinned. God has forgiven us of our sins. And he tells us in 1 John 1:9, that if we're willing to confess our sins, he is just and will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So when David talks about, he restored my soul, he knows what God has done for him, how God has blessed him. He committed sin, and God forgave him. He says, he restored my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. All of our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. We have our righteousness through him. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But upon confessing Christ Jesus and accepting him as Lord and Savior, we have been endued with his Holy Spirit at baptism. And I ask all of you, as David says, and I will teach transgressors your ways. Go out and teach sinners or talk to sinners about the love of Christ, as David says in Psalms 51. What does the Good Shepherd do for us? As I said, he makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. Care and assurance is exemplified here of the love of God. Now, we go on to where it says, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley and the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death. There is something that I'd like to say about death and about the shadow of death. David was well familiar with walking in death's pass. If you think about the Good Samaritan, of that individual that was left for dead, wounded, he walked through the paths of darkness, coming from Jerusalem, which is some 200 feet above sea level, descending to Galilee, which is way below. In between that passage, there are mountains and high mountains and shadows, and people going to Jerusalem to worship often are hit by robbers in the shadow of darkness. And David is quite familiar with the shadows of darkness. He's saying, even though I walk through the shadows of darkness, I will fear no evil, for he knows that the Lord is with him. Isaiah puts it beautifully when he says in Isaiah 45:3, I will give you treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret, or in secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who called you by name. Isaiah 45:3. Isaiah is telling us that there are hidden treasures in darkness. And David knows about those treasures. Now, what are those treasures? You know, when you're suffering and going through dark times and dismal times, or whenever you lost someone, what comes out of the darkness? Blessings come. Why does blessings come? Because we know that the Lord is there to provide for us. James put it this way. He says, when we are overcome, we thank God when we are overcome by various trials. Why he says that? Because he knows that God that we serve will provide for you. He will provide streams of quiet waters. He will provide green pastures. He will make life prosperous for you. Now, you might say,
well, I'm a Christian, and I go through hard times, and I don't see the help that I'm expecting. Well, our God is a calculating God. He calculates everything. When the time is right, he sent his one and only Son to die for us sinners. So when the time is right, even though you're going through darkness, maladies, God will answer. Will he answer immediately? Perhaps. Perhaps no. But having faith, that's the key. Having faith. Faith will overcome. You will overcome with faith obstacles. Blessed be to his holy name, who have blessed us with many blessings. And even though I walk through the valley of shadows of death, this is what Paul says concerning death in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 7. Paul says, O death, where is your sting? And as we were singing that song, See How the Lord Works, that was there. That was mentioned. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul continues on this same topic in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 55 through 57, and he says, what can separate us from the love of God? We know that God loves us. He sent his Son for us. What can separate us from the love of God? Paul says, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature or any creation shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Beautiful. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. If you have Christ, you have everything. And Paul tells us concerning death, or concerning dismal time, or concerning when you're walking through the paths of darkness. He tells us in 2 Corinthians 12, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Think about it. You're walking through dismal time, through the valleys and shadows of death. And Paul tells us that even though we're suffering, there is strength. There is treasures, as Isaiah says, in darkness or in dismal time. Even though we walk through the valley and shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for he is with us. His rod, and you could see the rod there with the crooks, that whenever we fall into trouble, we know that he is there to snatch us from the troubles. His staff is there to protect us against evil, as he protects our his sheep. Isaiah tells us again in 42, 3, 2 and 3. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. This is talking about the Lord. And through the rivers,
they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, your Savior. Beautiful, isn't it? Just wonderful. When you walk through the waters, or when you walk through darkness, remember you have someone there to console you, to lift you up. All you need to do, call upon his holy name, and he will respond. As I said, remember, and many of us Christians don't know this, but God is a calculating God. Just think about it. The birth of Christ, how it happened. When the time was right, God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary to let her know that she will conceive with a child who will be our Savior. This was all done in his own time and in his own fashion. And God, who was the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, he who is the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, is there for us. And what I'd like to do in terms of conclusions, I'd like to talk next about preparing a table for us and anointing our head with oil. David had many, many enemies, and one of his arch enemy was King Saul. I went, when was it? I think it was in November, to Sight and Sound in Hershey to see the show David. And that show was very good. It was excellent. But I guess they could put but so much. But anyway, they talked about David, who was taken from the sheepfold, one of Jesse's sons. Jesse had 7 sons, the Bible say, including David the 7th. He was anointed by the prophet Samuel. The Lord anointed him. He was anointed some 3 times or so. He was anointed as the shepherd boy. He was anointed as king. And as he said, David, he was blessed many times, and many of his contemporaries had envied him for seeing the blessing that he received from God. Now remember, David was an arch sinner, but God still blessed him. So even if we commit sin as believers and we go to him and confess our sins, he will forgive and he will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. He has anointed you with his Holy Spirit at baptism. Think about that. And as I said, if you don't know who the shepherd is, talk to some of the people here. But I do think all here is in Christ Jesus. But in some congregation, in many congregations, I should say, that I have visited, there is quite a number that goes to church on a regular basis, but have not accepted Jesus Christ. He wants a public acceptance. and many are fearful of that publicity. But so be it. Confess him, and you will be blessed. David says, he prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. The cup of blessing. The cup in Hebrew, the cup of halil, which is the cup of blessing. This is where we get the word hallelujah from, that cup. David says, my God has blessed me, and my cup has overflowed. And David continues, and he says, and surely the goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. And behold, as we're told by John in Revelation 3:20, he says, behold, this is talking of Jesus, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, or have supper with him. He stands at that door right now, and he is knocking. He wants you to come to him. To conclude, surely the goodness and mercy shall follow me, David says, all the days of my life. David had confidence in the Lord. And we likewise should have confidence. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's glory. But thanks be to God, who had sent his one and only Son, we have salvation through him. And David says, he has received that salvation and will show transgressors the love of God. And he says, surely that goodness will follow him all the days of his life. His son, Solomon, and remember, his son, the mother, Bathsheba, he committed adultery with her. The first child died, and God had a reason for that child dying. It's born in iniquity, in sin. And God does not like sin. And he did that as a purpose to teach David a lesson. And the lesson that he taught him was, if you come to me as a sinner and confess your sin, I will forgive you. And his son Solomon puts us this way, and this is in Ecclesiastes 12:13. And we know Solomon was the wisest man ever lived. He had blessings upon blessings upon blessings from the Lord. And he puts it this way in Ecclesiastes 12:13. And he says, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's lot. This is your lot. Fear God, keep his commandments, and he will bless you. You will have blessings upon blessings. Your Jehovah Jireh will provide. Your Jehovah Rapha will bring forth healing. Your Jehovah Shalom will bring forth peace. When you're going through times of troubles, remember this Psalms, and we all know it by heart. Just say to yourself, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He will make you to lie down in green pastures. pastures. He will lead you beside still water. He will restore your soul as he has restores David's soul. And he will prepare that table for you. As it says in Revelation, he stands at the door and he's knocking. All you need to do is enter in and sup with him. So what David's son is telling us is, if you fear God and keep his commandments, you will experience tremendous blessings. And I'm praying that we know this psalm verbatim, all of us. If you're walking through valleys of debt, remember in darkness, as Isaiah said, there are treasures in darkness. There are rewards in darkness. There is suffering in darkness. But we have that balm, this psalm, to heal us. As you go through life, remember, if you're suffering anything, all you need to do is say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even though he makes us to walk through valleys of shadows and darkness, and David was quite familiar with the shadow of darkness, as we see that wounded Samaritan, and we see that good shepherd, Jesus, that was there to anoint that man and restore him. He will do the same for you. May God bless you all with this message. Amen.